Okay, onwards and upwards. I like this format. It's kind of nice, chatty, not loads of slides, and it's kind of relaxed, isn't it? Chilled out, except for the enormous drop. How can you sit on that glass? You're freaking me out. Okay, so next up, in the IKEA chair of doom, is Mike Coos. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well, except for the height. So just to say, I was wandering around earlier downstairs, because I arrived a bit early, and I was running around, there was this guy, right, lying on the ground, okay, with an iPhone, taking a picture of an old man at a funny angle, with a pair of skinny trousers on, and I thought, that can only be Mike. And sure enough, it was. You were lying on the floor taking a picture of some guy that you must have freaked out something chronic. Have you got no shame, man?
He didn't know.
He didn't know. You were like between here. Anyway, go. So, Mike, do you want to, we'll do what we did with Robin. Do you want to give us a bit of an intro into who you are, what you do, and why we should care?
Well, you definitely shouldn't care. But yeah, so my name's Mike. And I'm a web designer. I'm relatively old in the sort of creative industries. I started out as a print designer, working for the Body Shop, doing sort of just basically desktop publisher at first. They sort of trained me in Photoshop and Quark Express. And then I moved into doing window posters for them and sort of honed my skills doing graphic design and illustration there. I mean, I had done education as well, but really it was in the working environment that I got better at what I did. And then in 2007, I decided, I guess, you know, things were really changing. You know, by that point, you were already on Twitter. I didn't even know what Twitter was. I had never even heard of it. And the web industry existed already, obviously. And, you know, I didn't even know what a div was at that point.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah, and but I realized that things were changing drastically, and I was always getting asked to do websites. And I had done a few sort of, you know, comps for them in Photoshop, but never actually built one. So it just dawned on me that I had to learn to do at least front-end development, which is what I did. I hired a friend of mine called Nick Harris, who was a great front-end, was a great developer, but I just took on a project. Someone asked me to do a website, and I said, yeah, I can do it. And I just sort of said, right, I've got to hire you to help me build this. And he just basically sat next to me for like 13 hours it was. And he just said, okay, right, put a little arrow.
Backwards out.
Well, no, he just basically just told me what to do. And then he would go, just like a navigation for the first lesson.
Right.
And he went away, and I just did that 5 times that week.
Right.
And then we just did the whole page over a course of about 2-3 weeks. And by the time I did one page, I could, I could do basic front-end work.
I hate you. It took me years to learn all that stuff, and you seem to have picked it up straight away.
Well, not really. I mean, I'm a real sort of technophobe, really. I hate computers. But I think you've got to remember as well, this is, well, before, this is like, you know, his fixed width sites.
Yeah.
And the only thing he had to worry about was exploring.
The good old days.
Those days. Yeah. Yeah. So and then, you know, the weird thing was is I did that, and then I got that job at Personified, and which was brilliant because it gave me a chance, because Ryan was well up for me doing my creative stuff, and I just combined my newly found front-end coding skills with the sort of illustration and graphic design skills I already had to do sort of, you know, fun websites.
So now you're freelancing.
Yeah.
And you have been for a few years now.
Yeah, a couple of years, yeah.
And that all seems to be going very well. You seem very busy from what I heard talking to you earlier.
Yeah.
One of the things that I find most fascinating about Mike is you do it all wrong. Right, this whole web design process, you don't do it like others, right? So you're supposed to have like an underlying grid structure, and you're supposed to have all of these rules that you follow, and you just seem to kind of slap things in Photoshop and it looks amazing. Right. Is that a fair, you don't kind of, you're a bit of an anomaly compared to a lot of the speakers that have all of these rules. Yeah. You seem to be much more instinctive in your design approach. Is that a fair comment? Or have I just slandered you massively?
Sort of.
I've slandered you, or sort of that's the way
a
you
bit
work?
Of both, really. Okay, but, I mean, the thing is about this, I think the thing about web design is that, well, firstly, you know, I'm always going to come at things from a creative angle because it's just the way I've been brought up in design. I was a graphic designer and illustrator, essentially. Yeah. So to me, web design is just another canvas. It was never like something special, and code is just a tool.
Yeah.
So I don't care about code. Right. I never have, and I don't now. I mean, I care about websites working properly. I care about, you know, I mean, I'd never sacrifice, not knowingly anyway, you know, the function of a website to make something look good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm completely and utterly going to push the boundaries as far as possible to make it a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
At the same time, and try and combine those two things. And to me, that's what, you know, great web design is. It's making, you know, it's doing both at the same time.
Yeah. A kind of combination, in a way, between design and the medium within which you're working. You have to take into account the medium that you're interacting with.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the whole thing about you saying slapping things down in Photoshop is, I mean, it is sort of true. I mean, I always start at that point. I mean, at the very beginning of any project, I don't ever think about grids or technicalities like that. Because it's just, to me, maybe it's different for some web designers to me, because I get hired to do a website, and to me, the functionality and the way it works comes as standard.
Yeah.
But that is just something it has to do. It's like when you buy a car, most people don't browse sites. I mean, some people, rural car enthusiasts, will browse, you know, check out the engine and stuff. But, you know, general lay persons just go, yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and, you know, and it's like, you know, you expect a car to work.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you know, people expect a website to work. And the next stage is the bit that entices people. And I spend a long time at the very beginning of every project. Like, you know, it takes me sometimes 2-3 weeks to make a homepage because I'm just tearing my hair out.
Not 3 weeks full time sitting.
Sometimes,
at this,
yeah.
Oh my word.
I mean, I recently did a Future Insights site for the Personified people, which is my first project for them after I'd left a couple of years ago. And Ollie, who I work with, can testify to this. I sat there working probably in full time. Where is he over there? Full time on it, and, you know, basically nagging him every 5 seconds to check out what I was doing. I worked on it full time for at least 2 weeks solid.
Wow.
Just his homepage. And, you know, what frustrates me as a designer is that, you know, I've done hundreds of websites, and every single time it feels like the first time I've ever done it every time.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, I basically spent probably the first 10 days doing one design, and I finished it, I went, great, that's one design. But I knew it wasn't right.
Right.
So I started again. But the great thing about starting again at that point was I had all the assets. And something Ollie said to me was, we just like, you know, and this is the weird thing, it's like, you know, I've done loads of websites and stuff, and I sort of should know this. But always what I just was going, just do the iconography, or just do the stuff you're going to do, you know, that's going to be the sort of central part to the visual, you know, the visuals of the site. Get that done, and then you've got assets to play with. And I sort of know that, really, but he sort of reminded me of that, and it made it a hell of a lot easier doing the second version. Because I knew the first version, I was just so sick of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, and this is the weird thing, and this is one of those weird questions. It's like, I had done a site that worked, structurally, it did work. And, you know, I will be showing that, and I'm going to do one of my time-lapse videos of it creating, so you'll see it go from A to completion, and then just
and
go
then
back down again.
And it collapses all down. Yeah.
And, but the thing is about it is that I knew it worked from a functional point of view. And to me, it didn't tick any of the boxes from being a site that's supposed to be, it's the future of web design, or future insights. It's just like a website, it's just boring.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it works, but it tells you what you need to know, but surely there's a way of telling you what you need to know, but also make it inspiring and interesting and do something different. And while that maybe isn't the goal in every web design project, I felt this was a case to make that happen.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of like came up with this idea of a sort of, I was really interested. This funny thing is that, like I said, I don't care about grids, but I used the grid for this. A sort of a four column, it was actually an 8 or 12 column grid actually. And but I ended up dividing it down into four and just using a sort of building block technique. And it's funny, I did it, and I just thought, I just went crazy doing this design with absolutely no thought whatsoever for, because Neil Kinnish developed it, and we worked together, and it was like, you know, it was like...
So developers hate you.
It was a responsive nightmare.
Yeah.
But I knew Neil could cope with it, because he's pretty good. But you know, we just did it, and I was massively happy with it, actually. Because
so, you just said in it, sorry, I'm going to take us off on a tangent, because I'm interested.
Sorry, I'm going.
You said there that it was a responsive nightmare, right? Now, as somebody that's come from a print background originally, that you see the web just as a canvas, was the word you used earlier. How does all that fit in? How does responsive design fit into this for you? Because, I mean, I look at the stuff you produce and, you know, it's visually stunning. And I, you know, I look at some of it and go, how does he get that to be responsive? Yeah. So what's your kind of approach with responsiveness?
Well, I did my, it's funny, when I worked at Personified, it's literally just as Ethan Marcotte wrote that article.
Yeah.
On a list apart, we were redesigning Think Vitamin blog.
Oh yeah.
And Ryan was like, right, we've got to make it responsive. And this is back in 2010, right? And so the good thing was, so I was literally just like dumped in the deep end to make this site responsive. And, you know, and I'm not like, you know, I can do front-end dev, but I'm not like the best front-end developer in the world around thing, do you know what I mean? So the great thing was is that very early on I got this lesson in responsive web design. I basically referred to Ethan's article, looked at John Hicks's site, which is always responsive, I think.
Yeah.
And basically cobbled together responsive Think Vitamin. So that gave me this grounding, and it was a brilliant thing. And I also read Jeremy's book, the HTML5 book, which was sort of not completely related, but at the same time I was implementing sort of HTML5 sort of markup.
Yeah.
And it just gave me a good grounding in understanding.
So how do you, go on, finish.
No, I was just going to say that, so doing that earlier on gave me a good grounding in what responsive design was and the challenges you face doing it.
Yeah.
So from there on in, I did a few responsive sites myself. But now when I work and stuff, I hire in a lot of, I don't do so much front end dev anymore because it's just, economically it makes sense for me to design and get someone to design. But so, Greg, what are you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, how does it work, you know, the all the cool kids these days say should be content out, start with the content work out. I can't imagine you thinking in that kind of way.
I don't even know what content out means, really.
Jeremy will tell us later, it'll be fine. Yeah. But you start with a large canvas and work down? Or?
Well, I mean, the reason I started with a large canvas and work down is purely because I get hired to do, normally the creation I'm making isn't just about a website, it's about brand and about feeling. So, you know, I've got to create that first. And to me, it's like the homepage is a sort of a benchmark for style.
Yeah.
And then I start off like that, but then I maybe do work content out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? On the subsequent pages. Because one thing I've sort of realized lately, which is really interesting, and I think this is just from a style point of view, one thing you do in web design, which is we've all just done by default, is that you create a very stylistic homepage, and it just follows through, the rest of the site comes off in a similar way. But books aren't like that, for example. Yeah. You get amazing book covers, and inside the content is just delivered in a way which is easy to digest. And I've sort of keep telling myself, keep saying, you know, do the crazy homepage, go to town, you know, convey all the personality about the company you're working for, do all the things they want, do the stuff that's going to make give that wow factor. Then you turn over the page and boom, you're into a place where it's delivering you the content you need to know in a way you need to have it delivered to you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe all the style, but there's just references to the style in the homepage. So yeah. in a sense, the homepage can become like a book cover. And you don't have to follow through the rest of the site on this crazy visual design adventure you had on the homepage, and you can concentrate on delivering the information in a sensible way.
You know what I mean? No, that makes total sense. Earlier on, you talked about spending 2 weeks working on a homepage. Mm. There is a really important question relating to that. Mm. How the hell do you get a client to pay for you to do 2 weeks on a homepage?
I don't. I just basically...
You do it anyway.
No. I mean, what I do is... I have this weird pricing thing, which is basically...
How much you can get away with?
Yeah. No. No, basically, I don't have any... I never, ever charge clients more for redos of things or, you know, updates, anything. Basically, I charge a fee that... And I have this little thing I ask... And I actually said this last time I spoke here... Is I basically just put them out, before I send a quote off, I go, am I prepared to do everything, anything, for this client to make them happy for the amount of money I'm quoting here?
Right.
And if I can't honestly answer it yes, I don't send email. And I just go, okay. And I really price things with instinct. Just look at it and go, right, boom, that's the price.
And I guess as well, when you talk about designing a homepage, from what you've been saying earlier, you're designing a brand.
Yeah, exactly, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like when I'm designing, well, that stuff I can see in a reflection of the mixture thing, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was just a holding page, essentially. But I just, you know, it was, to me, it's just all about the first port of call is to, you know, create a way in which you can convey the personality of a brand. And the thing is, you've got to remember, like I said to you, is that people who come to me to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They want me to be able, they want me to do that to their site. They don't want me to just, you know, crank out a site that works. Of course it's going to work. I mean, I'm not going to deliver something that doesn't. But so if I come back to them and go, yes, this is completely functional, they're going, yeah, but it looks like a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not good enough for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got to spend a lot of time trying. Like that site there, for example, the Create DM one, that took a month to do the homepage.
Wow.
Because maybe 3 weeks, maybe actually. But because I was tearing my hair out trying to get a concept.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I knew sort of what the goal was, but to get to the point of like something I was happy with and something I thought they would be happy with. You know, I did that and I had to phone them up 2 weeks into the project and go, I need more time.
Yeah.
I haven't cracked it. And this is the horrible thing because the hardest part I find of web design is this part, is this creative part. Because it is subjective and there isn't a right necessarily, well, there are probably multiple right answers from that point of view. I mean, I find the technical part of web design and UI design a lot simpler. Because you are adhering to a lot of conventions that a lot of clever people have already put in place.
Yeah.
And you do things for a good reason. And, yeah, so, you know, sometimes you come up with clever solutions, but a lot of the time, you know, I'm really, when I come to designing a UI for an app, for example, I'm really falling back on the work that other people have already done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know how a UI should work, not because I'm great at UI design, but because I look at websites all day long, every day, and I've learned from people who do it right.
Yeah.
But it's just the creative part, ironically, which is what I sort of sell myself on, is the hardest part for me. And I said, it's crazy that every time I start a project, even with the way, you know, understanding of the of history, knowing that I normally do manage to do it, I still feel ridiculously nervous about achieving the end result for the client. And, you know, that never goes away, unfortunately.
So, because you're as much developing a brand that's being personified through a website, for want of a better word, content and design have to work very closely together. It's an art direction job. So, you know, the kind of designs that you've been showing here of the homepages are very, you know, you've got the strap lines in there, you've got the messaging in there. Are you producing that? Is a client producing that? Do you work with a copywriter? Mm. I'm just, by the way, I'm completely left the script now. I'm just making up stuff.
Cool. Yeah,
I'm
interested. No, yeah. I normally, a lot of the time, I make up the copy myself.
Right.
Because the copy is my sort of biggest friend, I'd say. It's the one thing I come back to nearly every talk I ever do, is how copy is the one thing. Good copy is the one thing that gets me out of design corners. Because it's... Like, for example, on that Create DM site, they had nothing.
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, we'd make Android and iOS apps, and we work in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
Make us a website. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, cool. Right. And then, so what I do is I sort of interview them and go, right, tell me everything.
Yeah.
And from that point, I'm like, okay, so I've got to think of some copy here. Because that's the starting point. And for them... And always, basically, I'll sit and scribble down tons of strap lines, something that sums them up. And my first goal is to try and sum up a brand or a company within one line of text. And that one line of text, in their case, I came up with loads of strap lines, but they seemed like they were a fun company with a lot of like creative ideas, but they were very professional and scientific in a way.
Yeah.
And so the strap line was the art and science of app creation.
Yeah.
Which...
Now, obviously, it instantly creates all these kind of visual images.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so what is the art and science of app creation? So yeah. Then I'm just basically listing the things I see what goes into making an app.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've got very obvious things just like development, design, but then you've got things like passion and creativity.
Yeah.
And so instantly, I'm just thinking, brilliant, I can illustrate all those things and do it in a creative way. And then what I'll do in conjunction with that is think, it's just really just scour tons of stuff. And maybe you look at some... I mean, for that particular site, I think I actually saw something that was someone had done a... It was in a very white room, and they'd built up big... It was in a magazine, and it was these big built-up foam blocks and multicolours or something.
Right.
It just made me think, oh, that's nice. And it just gave me a sort of a style guide for creating these very bright coloured illustrations on a white background. And then I had that in my head... combine it with the copy and this sort of content that I've created.
Yeah.
And that basically gave me the basis for the site.
Right, okay. Well, believe it or not, we're running out of time already. I've taken you off on a huge tangent.
Sorry.
But one thing I want to ask about before we wrap up is, so there seems to be these kind of different approaches to design appearing. There's the kind of Apple skeuomorphic kind of approach.
Mm.
There's the Windows flat design, Windows 8 kind of approach, and then there's the stuff that Google is doing in the middle.
Mm.
And I've seen you kind of go the gamut of those.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on all of this?
Well, I think it's funny how you refer to, for example, to the flat the sort of design of the Microsoft. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like that's... Well, firstly, I don't think there's any such thing as flat design.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's just old design. The whole lot's just old design. And I think it's... Maybe it's my age, I think. Like, to sort of talk about flat design as being some sort of fad seems ridiculous to me.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, if anything's a fad, it's skeuomorphic design.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, that sort of came into the web, Web 2 and stuff, and it's only been around a very short period of time, really.
Yeah.
And now it's on its way out, almost. And to me, it's old fashion. It's completely and utterly style and fashion.
Yeah.
There is no need. You can use skeuomorphic design, but I think this argument that you need to have shadows or something to determine what a button is just bullshit.
Right.
I mean, you can do it in all sorts of different ways, and I don't think any of them are right or any of them are wrong.
Yeah.
It's just as long as you know, for example, one of the things I think that is really solid, that isn't fashion, for example, is the use of colour.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with buttons and things and form fields and error messages, you know, if you started using, like, green for error messages, everyone would be going, what the fuck's going on? There's obviously a very good reason for that, and I think those conventions are important. But the stuff between skeuomorphic, flat design, it's just style.
Yeah.
And... you can do whatever you want, I think, and But I don't think it has any bearing personally on whether a website will work properly or not.
No, absolutely.